and welcome to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every week I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. And then I also bring you a Friday episode where I get to share with you whatever's been on my heart. And today's going to be a fun one. Because I don't get much chance to share my own personal story of being a mom and just being a person, you might wonder, if you aren't normally friends with me in real life, who is this Jessica Dahlquist? Where did she come from and what's her backstory? Well, I wanted to give you a little glimpse at my life today by telling you 15 things that you may not know about me. And even if you're friends with me, you may not know some of these things either. So it's going to be a learning experience for everybody. As always, if you haven't already done so, head over to iTunes, make sure you're subscribed, and if you've left a rating or a review, thanks so very much. It makes me so happy when new people are able to find the podcast because we have more ratings and reviews that allow them to find us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. So thanks so much for doing that for me. So let's go ahead and just jump into the 15 things you may or may not know about me already. So number one is that I was born and raised in Southern California, specifically San Diego. I'm the oldest of three. I'm the only girl in the family, so I have two younger brothers. And I loved being the only girl, and I was the musical one and everything while my brothers were the athletes. But I did always want a sister. I always dreamed of having a sister to share my clothes with and share a room with, and I thought that would be so fun. But I love my brothers dearly, so that worked out as well. Okay, number two is that I am really, really good at any type of word games. I am amazing at Wheel of Fortune. I actually went to an open casting call one time, but the way that contestants get selected is through a random lottery to even get to audition. But let me tell you, if given the chance to audition for Wheel of Fortune, I would get on and I would win. I mean, I can solve those puzzles if there's only like two or three letters up. I mean, I get in the groove, I hone in, and I can just see the complete phrase, the complete before and after. I'm so good. I'm also good at Scrabble, and I really enjoy word games and think those things are really fun. So I'm not trying to be arrogant about my word skills, but I'm amazing. So if you ever play against me in Scrabble, prepare to lose. Okay, so next is that I am a military spouse. I never pictured myself being a military spouse. But after my husband went to law school at University of Michigan and had worked at a corporate law firm for a few years, he felt compelled to want to serve his country. And I'm really grateful that he answered that call, and the military has afforded us a lot of interesting opportunities. Some have been great, some have been hard. But I'm really thankful for the people that we've met and for the appreciation that we now have for the military community. Hey, number four, I went to Point Loma Nazarene University for college and majored in education, and I taught kindergarten, third, and fourth grade, and then I went on to get my master's in education and also taught college while we lived in Utah. I taught college for a year, and that was really fun, and actually, I now work in admissions for the University of Michigan, and I work for their business program reviewing full-time MBA applicants, so my degree has allowed me to do a lot of different things, but I love teaching in all capacities and have a really big heart for teaching elementary school students, but I really enjoyed college too. So we'll see what happens in this next chapter of my life once my kids are older, what I choose to do, whether it's going back and teaching in elementary school or doing something with college stuff. I don't know, but I love being a teacher, and I always wanted to be a teacher my whole life since I was really young. I was the one rounding up the neighborhood kids and making them do schoolwork, you know, as we played in the afternoon, and I made a yearbook and gave report cards, and I was very strict, but yeah, love being a teacher. Okay, number five is really random, but I am really short. I'm 5'1", and one of my claims to fame when I was younger, and I'm still really good at this, is I'm an excellent hula hooper. So much so that I actually put that as one of my skills on my resume, like at the bottom where it says about me or extra skills or something, I'd put hula hooping. And let me tell you, if you are just coming out of college and you don't have that much to put on your resume and you're trying to stand out from the people that you're competing against, put something random like hula hooping, something that will just grab their attention and something they're going to want to ask about in the interview, because I put hula hooping on there. I have won several contests being a hula hooper, both going for a long time, doing tricks, you know, going down to my knees, standing back up, doing it on my arms, running back and forth. And I even did 14 hula hoops at one time around my short little body when I was in middle school. So yeah, I'm an excellent hula hooper. So, you know, I don't know if that's a very marketable skill, but it definitely makes for interesting conversation. Okay, number six, I hate cleaning. I really am not good at it. I feel like even though I'm constantly cleaning, and I think it's having kids too, where I feel like everything is constantly messy. And so it's really hard to clean things well when you just have stuff everywhere. But there's a few jobs in particular that I really can't stand. I don't like winding up the cord on the vacuum. I don't mind the actual vacuuming, but for some reason, winding that cord back up at the end is just really irritating to me. I also don't like transferring laundry from the washer to the dryer because I'm really, really short. And so it's hard for me to reach all the way down into the barrel and transfer that over. And then things fall on the floor and I just can't stand that. And I don't like dusting because I don't like picking up things to dust underneath it. So I find myself like going around things, which I know kind of defeats the purpose of like cleaning and dusting well, but I just, ugh, such a pain. Don't like that. I wish I had a maid. All right. Number seven, I taught voice lessons since the time I was 15 years old. It started just from word of mouth, people that I would perform with in theater, the younger kids, their parents would say, oh, will you teach my child voice lessons? And I said, oh yeah, sure. So I did that out of my house. And my friends in high school were always so amazed that every time I would reach into my pocket, I'd pull out like a $20 bill or something. Sometimes they were lucky if they reached in their pocket and had a spare quarter or a dollar. But I would always have 20s or 10s or whatever in my pocket. And they'd be like, what the heck? What is going on? But it was because my voice lessons would pay me in cash. And so I always would just stick it in my pocket. So in any given pair of pants or shorts, I always had cash, usually in larger denominations, in my pockets. And that was always a very welcome discovery. So that was a great job. I did that for a long time. 10 plus years. And that was a fabulous way to make a lot of money and do something that I really enjoyed. So yeah, that was awesome. Okay. Number eight, I love to swing dance. I was never a very good dancer, but I had to take dance primarily just to keep up and be able to have some of the bigger roles in theater and things like that. But one thing that I was good at and really enjoyed was swing dancing. And I did West Coast and East Coast, Lindy Hop. And because I was really small, I was always the person that could do a lot of the lifts really easily and get flipped around and tossed in the air and things. And that was really such a fun thing. And I was also in a swing dance touring group where we would perform at different locations and events and things. And it was just the best time ever. Swing dancing is so much fun to watch and it is so much fun to do. I just loved it. Oh, I wish I still did it. I'm way more fearful now. Now when I think of doing those flips and things, I can't believe how fearless I was because I had a lot of falls and minor injuries and things like that from being dropped because I would just throw my body in the air and expect to be, you know, flipped over with ease and then land on my feet. But sometimes I would land on my back or land on my ankle or things like that. And, yeah, I was fearless though, but it was so fun. Okay. Number nine, I have huge babies. So I have three boys. My first son, Parker, weighed 8 pounds, 7 ounces. Austin weighed 8 pounds, 14 ounces. And Jackson came in at a whopping 9 pounds, 14 ounces. And they were all on their due date. I delivered all of them naturally. Not, I had an epidural, but just the natural way. And they're all huge and I don't know why. I mean, I was eight and a half pounds. Pete was 8.5 pounds as well. But I'm only 5'1". I'm a really small pocket size kind of person. Why do I have these huge babies? So it really is scary thinking about if I have another one, if they keep getting bigger, I don't think that is going to be good for me. So, yeah, I don't know why I have such big babies. Does anybody else know why we have big babies if we're small people? Don't even know. Okay. Number 10, when I started this podcast, I did not know what I was doing, and I had to Google how to start a podcast. And that's literally how this whole thing got started. I listened to podcasts and enjoyed them and realized, you know, once I had an idea of a show, Extraordinary Moms Podcast, where I wanted to interview different moms, I just thought, you know what? Why not? It's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be able to figure out every little thing, but I can figure out the basics. And I want to put this message out into the world. And so I did it. But it all started just by Googling how to start a podcast. See, you can do anything you put your mind to. You just got to Google it. All right, number 11. When I was in third grade, I contracted spinal meningitis. And it was the viral kind, but I was in the hospital several days. And it was pretty scary. I remember I was really sensitive to light. And so I had like a washcloth over my eyes. And my neck was really stiff and hurt. I was really, really sick. But I don't remember how many days I was in the hospital, but I remember that if I stayed until a Wednesday, so maybe I was in the hospital 3 or 4 days. So if I stayed one extra day than when I was actually discharged, they had me fill out a menu for my meals. And I thought that was kind of cool once I was feeling a little bit better and I was getting to pick what I wanted them to deliver to my room for the meals. And for some reason, I checked for that last day, lobster. I feel like, I don't like lobster, but it sounded fancy. And can you imagine hospital food lobster? How gross is that? But thankfully I was discharged a day prior to the lobster day. Otherwise that just sounds totally nasty. But I'm okay now, but spinal meningitis is no joke. Okay, number 12 is a true confession. When I was in third grade and we were doing the standard eye tests at school, I really wanted glasses. And so I faked the eye exam and pretended like I couldn't read any of the letters on the eye chart. But what I didn't know is you had to pick, like you couldn't see up close or you couldn't see far away. And so I just basically screwed up everything and I was squinting and I was just so dramatic about it. And so I remember my teacher, when I got retested like later in the day for like the really severe cases, they called a few students back and my teacher was like, oh, you should really keep your eye on her. She's just squinting all the time and making, you know, faces when she is looking at the board. And and when I went into the optometrist, I kind of did the same thing and they didn't really know what to do with me. And so they ended up giving me like little granny reading glasses because they're like, I don't really know. See if these help with your thing. And I thought those were super cool. And I had them like, I was in third grade and I had them pushed down to the end of my nose and I would look through them and look over them. And I mean, picture me, you know, teaching all the neighborhood kids in third grade and having those glasses. I just thought that was so awesome. But eventually I did need glasses not long after that for real. And so my dream came true, but I had to fake it at first. Okay, number 13, singing was my most favorite thing when I was a little girl and I wanted to be a star. And so I auditioned for Star Search. I made a video and was determined to get on Star Search. It didn't happen, but I did audition and I auditioned to be on the show Barney, like the purple dinosaur. Yeah, I was desperate to be a star. Okay, number 14. I go absolutely nuts when I see celebrities. It is totally weird. I don't even know. I took a senior trip after I graduated from college with some of my college roommates when we went to New York. And it was literally one of the best weeks of my life. It was so fun. It was one of those weeks where everything just kind of worked out well. Everything was timed really well and the weather was great and we saw a ton of shows and everything was just blissful and just picture perfect. And one night in particular, we stayed out late and stood outside of some theaters that were letting out. And that was the time when Julia Roberts was on stage in a show. David Schwimmer, and a few others. And so we waited outside Julia Roberts' show, hoping that we'd catch a glimpse of her when she emerged from the theater after the show got out. And we were right. We were waiting outside the stage door, and she walked out and hopped into her black SUV. But I got a picture of her, and she was also starring with David Schwimmer in that show. I think Bradley Cooper was in that one, too. Yeah, but that same night we also saw John Stamos. We saw Hairspray, and he was sitting in the row in front of us. And when he was leaving the theater, I was yelling, "I love you, Uncle Jesse!" And he didn't respond. He probably thought I was totally nuts. And then that same night, we saw Sarah Jessica Parker walking through the streets. And for some reason, I just became like stalker mode. And I started sprinting after her to get a picture of her. And I'm like running through the streets of New York, and she's running, and I'm running, and I'm trying to get my camera out to get a good picture. And I chased her for several blocks. I'm nuts. What is wrong with me? But I chased her for several blocks until she ran into a restaurant. And then at that point, I decided to give her space. But she's probably meeting someone famous too. And I should have probably gone in, but no, that's next level. That's nuts. Then I went to a Kenny Chesney, no, not Kenny Chesney, Keith Urban concert. And I was kind of near the aisle, and he was singing and walking through the aisles. And of course, there's security everywhere, but I kind of like leapt out into the aisle and I like grabbed his bicep. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I just become like a crazy fan anytime I see a famous person. Oh, so funny. Lastly, number 15. This is kind of a lengthy one, but I am a person where I always, at any given time, have a ton of things going on. I love having odd jobs. I love constantly looking for that next thing to be involved with or a new idea to pursue. And as a result, I've had a ton of random jobs throughout my life. So let me tell you a few of the random jobs that I've had since I was of the age where I could have a job. So, like I said, from the age 15 on, I was a voice teacher, and I've done that on and off until, even just this past year. I've taught private voice lessons, group voice lessons. I also started a children's chorus when I lived in San Diego called Kids Sing, and we had different age groups. I would teach the songs and choreography, and then we'd perform at different events around town and put on our own show. It was so fun. I was also a swing dance instructor at elementary schools, and then I would also teach at grad nights. If you're not familiar, that's like the high school after graduation. They do like a night event for the kids, and then they'd have different people come in and do activities. And one of the activities was learning how to swing dance, and so I would teach them that. I was in college. I was a grocery store shopper for an old woman. She would pay me $7 in cash from her little cash envelope. She was so old and so darling. I don't even know how old she was. She was so old that she sometimes would not hear the doorbell when I would ring, and it would take a lot of effort for her to like actually know that I was there. But she would have a cute little list that I would use to go grocery shopping for her and do her grocery shopping for her basic necessities. And particularly, I would always get her cat food and products that she would need for her cats as well. That was super random, but that $7 in college bought me a meal. So there you go. I was also in college, a chauffeur and kind of mentor to a little girl who needed to be taken to her swim practice twice a week. So I'd go and I'd pick her up. I would take her, I would watch her, I'd cheer her on, and then I would also just kind of encourage her. They were a military family and just had some different issues going on there. And so I developed a really sweet relationship with her and her family. And that was a huge blessing to me, and I loved doing that job. That was awesome. But I was really bad at putting on swim caps, and I always felt so bad because I'd always pull her hair. And I did get a little bit better by the end, but still, that was sad. I was a tutor. I've tutored all ages. I worked at a tutoring center. Yeah, I've done that in lots of different capacities. I did a lot of babysitting when I was younger. I worked for my neighbor's real estate company where I would enter new MLS listings and organize paperwork and file things and did lots of different odds and ends for her real estate company. Even currently, I am an application reviewer for the University of Michigan. I review MBA applications and do a review of the applications that come in and make a recommendation on if they should be admitted or not. that has been such a fun job. And it's perfect for a stay-at-home mom because I'm able to do it seasonally just during application season. So I'll do it for like 6 months and I can do it from home, and then I'm off for 6 months. So it is a fabulous job. I feel so blessed. I started that when we lived in Michigan while my husband was in law school, and then they let me continue remotely. So it's the best. I'm so thankful for that job. I worked at Nordstrom during their sales season, and I remember wearing really uncomfortable shoes and literally like losing feeling in my pinky toes because I would have to stand for so long. And I just did like the go backs. I would take the clothes from the dressing room and restock the shelves and things like that. That is a lot of standing. That was a lot of work. I don't think I would do that again. That was really, really hard, but some people do that for their career, and I can't even fathom standing for that long. So props to you, Nordstrom employees. During the summers when I would be a teacher in Utah, I would work for a catering company, and that also was a job with a ton of standing, and that was really hard work. But the food was delicious. We'd go to different types of events, weddings and conferences and things, and I would serve and prep food. And then the worst part was afterwards, I'd have to go back and do the dishes. And that was a real pain. But any of the food that was left over, we got to take home. And so my husband loved that job a lot because I would always bring home really, really good catering food. I had so many random jobs in Utah. So I was an elementary school teacher by day. I taught at the college, Utah Valley University. I taught a night class there. And then I worked catering over the summers. And then I was also a photo assistant for a great photographer in Utah, Justin Hackworth. I was his assistant for like a year and a half. And he was fabulous. I had no previous experience, but I loved working with people. I had an interest in photography and in improving my photography skills. And I learned so much from him. And he was so kind. And I loved his family. And I got that job off Craigslist. It was super random, but I'm so glad that I did because that was just such a fun way to be involved in people's weddings and happy days and happy events. And it was so fun. And then I started this podcast, and this is my most recent job. And I wanted to find a way to cover some of my expenses that come about when you run a podcast. And so I reached out to another podcast that I listened to of some friends that live in the area. And I said, hey, do you want me to edit your podcast? And that was something that they were looking to take off their plate. And they said, sure. And so now I edit their podcast, the She Percolates podcast. Those are some 15 random things about me. I hope that was kind of fun for you and you get to know me a little bit better. As summer's approaching, I wanted to reach out to you to let you know that I'm always looking for new guests for the show. If you think that you know somebody that's an extraordinary mom that would make for a great Tuesday episode, or if you yourself has a story that makes your, you know, life and your mothering extraordinary, I want to hear about it. Email me at jessica@extraordinarymomspodcast.com and just email me, tell me a little bit about your story, and I'm always looking for new, interesting guests to have on. I want to thank you for joining me on today's podcast. And for next Tuesday's episode, we have Amy Merkley. And Amy is a mom of two boys who suffer from type 1 diabetes. And she's going to tell about how they were diagnosed. It was really dramatic and scary, but thankfully they're doing well now and their diabetes is manageable and under control. But she's going to share more about what a diagnosis with diabetes looks like and kind of what their new normal looks like as their family has navigated these waters, going from knowing nothing about diabetes to dealing with it 24/7. She is incredible, inspiring, and positive. I really loved my chat with Amy, and you're going to love getting to know her as well. So I'll see you next Tuesday for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Have a great week.